This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up! All right, good morning. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call SB Nation Radio as we continue on a throwback Thursday 2006. Yeah, controversial is what I use, but it's probably a little too strong. Barry Bonds hitting home run number 715 on this date against the Colorado Rockies, passing Babe Ruth. Pete Jensen is going to join us this hour. That's coming up in 35 minutes. NHL.com does a Fantasy on Ice podcast talking hockey as they try to come back. They're going to have a 24-team tournament. Now we'll talk a little bit about their matchups coming up as they get back on the ice. Two hub cities for them. The NBA still again toying with the idea of going with different type of playoff formats. And yeah, you know what? It's to me, I'm again, large picture guy here. To me, I'm looking at the conversation we're having about the NBA and how they want to present their playoffs as a good sign. I mean, it's good that we're debating the viability of playing at Disney World and then the validity of a champion coming out of whatever format they have. When before, we didn't even know if they would come back at all. You know, you kind of think about back to March, right? And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like March 15th or around March 11th or so, that feels like years ago. But it was really only 2.5 months ago. It wasn't that long ago on the calendar. But quarantine and stress and all of the things that has gotten us to this point, you know, it just feels like time has slowed down, and it feels like there's just a long distance between the last time we saw NBA basketball until when we'll see it again. But at least we're having a conversation that is something to do with whether or not we should be doing this based on a history point of view rather than a safety point of view. And we're still having the safety conversations, don't get me wrong. But when you're having arguments about whether or not a champion should have an asterisk to it, I mean, think about where we were just a couple of weeks ago, whether or not we would even have the opportunity to put an asterisk next to a champion anyway. So, again, I've been saying it all morning, and it's worth repeating. Props to the NHL, props to NBA for staying the course, trying to figure out a way to do this, and do this well, and do this well enough that they can bring you a product that is not watered down or cheapened, but actually has some real entertainment value to it. All right, coming up, we'll talk some NFL.
Ladies up in here tonight. No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, I kind of haven't been doing my duty talking about the music that we've been playing on Throwback Thursday today.
And this is the one song you're like, we should stop right. And talk about
Let's
her.
Let's talk about Shakira.
Right, you know, I felt it was appropriate. You said NFL next.
Right, that's right.
Shakira's, you know, although, I mean, J-Lo was good, I think Shakira won the halftime show.
Yeah, she did. That's right. Shakira did great.
Hips don't lie.
The hips don't lie is right. All right, so we kind of touched on it in the good, the bad, and the dumb Jadeveon Clowney situation, looking for a new deal, looking for a deal. He wanted $20 million a year. He wasn't going to get that, but the reports are the Cleveland Browns did a really good job with coming up with a plan to bring him aboard, but he's not ready to make a commitment to the Cleveland Browns. So what exactly does that mean? Does it mean that he's being stubborn, or does it mean he's looking at it and saying, look, I know somebody's going to offer me some money, and I just really want to pick where I want to play? It depends on how you view it. Look, Clowney, unfortunately, and I'm a big Clowney fan because he went to South Carolina, and he was part of the best year South Carolina football is probably ever going to have.
Come on now.
All right?
I know. It may look bleak, but you got to believe, Tony.
No.
That South Carolina, there's brighter days for South Carolina in the future.
I've been waiting like 30 years, okay?
I understand.
I don't think I'm going to get a stretch of 11 win seasons and a trip to the SEC championship. But nevertheless, I hope they do come around. And every year it's the same thing. I have a friend of mine who is a big booster. I actually did a Gamecock radio show with him once when I was in Charleston. And every year he does this thing. He's like, I think they're going to win 12 games. I'm like, really? What? Like, they're going to be lucky to win seven. What are you talking about? Because he's just so, he's one of those crazy fans. I think we'll beat Clemson. Yeah, I think, you know, like, there's no chance they're going to beat Clemson. But I always wonder how do you can do that year in and year out? Like, every year is, this is it, this is it, and just get disappointed time and time again. But Clowney was part of the great Steve Spurrier teams and was the number one overall pick. Remember at the time people were saying Khalil Mack was better, and, you know, I should have listened more carefully.
Better than Clowney?
Yeah, they're like, please. Come on. They're like, no, they should take Khalil Mack should be the number one pick. And I was like, please, Jadeveon Clowney, look at this. They took a guy's helmet off in the Outback Bowl.
Well, the Raiders wasted a flyer on Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? How dare you?
Raiders never make good draft picks.
But injuries and low and unfulfilled expectations have kind of hampered Clowney's career.
But see, that's why
the Texans in Seattle.
That's why I think Cleveland would be a good fit for him. Because he kind of would have a similar situation that he had in with Houston, where you have on the opposite side of you, doesn't matter which side, you guys can always flip-flop, but on the opposite side of you is an all-pro defensive end.
Yeah, right.
That people are going to have to pay attention to you, so you're not going to get the double team all the time. And I think with Jadeveon Clowney on one side, Myles Garrett on the other, that's a good combo for these guys.
Why? This is my question, though. Like, okay, why wouldn't you want to go to Cleveland? And if it's because the organization is not consistent with its coaching, that's legit, right? They overturn coaches constantly there, and that can get on your nerves as a player. The futility of the organization, but you could be part of the process that changes that. Here's the one thing that Clowney can take some college from his college experience, right? Clowney came in and... Clowney came in with Spurrier was trying to do something at South Carolina that they've never really had before. They were always kind of a middle of the road kind of football team that every now and then would have good unexpected seasons, even under Lou Holtz, even under a number of different coaches. But Spurrier was trying to take that school and put it into the upper echelon of the SEC. But that's not an easy sell when you're being recruited by the likes of Georgia, which is not very far to travel. So you know, family and friends can come see you play. Other schools that were around, Clemson, obviously, and all these other schools. Now, Clemson wasn't Clemson at the time that Clowney was being recruited. But Clowney could have gone to any big program. Marcus Latimer could have gone to any big program. But what they were trying to do was go to South Carolina and rise it up. Right, and put it in a place that it had never been before. I don't understand. Like, if you don't like the organization, if you don't like the owner, well, there's nothing you're going to do about that, right? So that I get. If you tell me, man, I just don't want to play for that guy. Well, he's not changing. So if that's your reason, okay, that's fine with me, right? If that's your reason, that's your reason. But if it's because the organization doesn't win, or it doesn't have a history of winning, and even when it feels like it should be winning, doesn't win. You could be part of the process that changes that, just like you did at South Carolina, right? I mean, the idea of winning three straight years, winning 11 games, it was that's a dream come true for a guy like me who's been waiting for that school to do something good. He was a part of it. Now, does he want to, does he feel like the Cleveland offer might still be around enough to get a feel for where other teams are, who has the cap room, who's willing to make a play? All right, maybe. All right, maybe, but why doesn't he want to go to Cleveland? That's what I would like to know. Now, because I just think players are wired differently than fans. I mean, like, you know, oh, I want to go to a winner. Well, players think that when they go to a team, they'll be a winner, right? That they'll change it to being a winning organization. And I think if you're Clowney and your big sticking point was money, then make, because how do they respect you in this league? They respect you with money. How do you get to be considered one of the top position players? There's statistics, and then there's money. And, you know, if you can get offered close to what your asking price is, even if it's not your asking price, who else? Are you waiting for a team to figure out its draft cap space to go after you? I wonder what that is. Now, there's a belief, again, there's a belief in the story, right, that he wants to, his top priority is to join a contender. Okay, that I understand. He wants to get to a Super Bowl. But why can't you see a Super Bowl in Cleveland with you on the team? Right? Like, who else are you going to sign with that has the cap room that you're going to make it to a Super Bowl? If you sign with the Dolphins, then you better explain why Cleveland didn't have the necessary tools to get you where you want to go in the first. Now, we as fans can go, yeah, Cleveland, blah, 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 if you, you know, have one playoff in 20 years. But he's trying to be part of a changing of the culture there, which he's going to do in a lot of other places. There's no guarantee. Like, if he signs with the Titans, it doesn't, you know, or the Dolphins or whatever, that doesn't mean he's going to go to a Super Bowl. So, Clowney is a fantastic run defender. He doesn't get to the quarterback as much as people would like him to get to the quarterback, but he's good against the run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this he could fit it. He could totally fit with the Browns.
And I mean, just pairing him up with a good defensive end, on, so there's more freedom for him to do things.
Right.
Because I mean, he did okay in Seattle, but he was the main guy on the line for Seattle.
Right.
So he kind of got lost and. It's hard to make that argument now where he's demanding or asking for a $20 million a year. It's like, well, what'd you do?
And remember, this guy has got a lot. He's got a good injury history. I think he's coming off another one.
God,
so
yeah.
He's, you know, I mean, teams are going to be a little cautious with how much money they're going to give him.
Of course.
Especially in this day and age. So to me, I think the Browns is a lotto ticket. You go cash. Right. I mean, especially,
I think it's a great place for him.
Especially if you want to make that point. Now, if he's nervous about, look, I've seen this go down where a lot of guys go to Cleveland and they don't get to the playoffs and they don't get any chance of winning a championship. And there's something about that organization that's doing that to these people. But, you know, like the Browns have been very aggressive. And I agree with that. I mean, look, how many years have we said the Browns should be better? They've got this guy, or they've guided this guy, or they got this guy. The Browns should be, and they just aren't. Whatever reason, they're just not. But in this case, I think Clowney can look at what they're building and start saying, yeah, you know what? There's some decent pieces here that I like. I just got Jack Conklin on the offensive line, for crying out loud. I mean, they've got some players there. They've got good enough players there. And again, you're right. With Garrett and him, that's a great combination.
Maybe the Browns aren't recruiting him enough? Like the players?
Not stroking his ego enough?
I mean, doesn't that sound like what it is? I mean, if you're looking for 20, we're assuming they gave you 19 because the Dolphins gave you 18.5 and you turned that down.
Right.
You know, and if they're giving you 19, I mean, you're not holding out over, you know, it's like holding out over a dollar at this point.
Well, all right, let's say you're an author. Okay, you write books, right?
Yes.
You write thrillers, or you're like Stephen King, you write thrillers.
I do, under a pseudonym.
So let's say you're looking at a new publishing company, okay, and you're saying, I've got a new series that's coming out, and people are kind of vying for your services, right? You could take the one that's got the most money, but you also would be like, well, I kind of really want to go with this publishing company. I'm kind of hoping this publishing company steps up because I really like the people over there and they can do different things than the one that's offering more money. Maybe that's the case, is that he wants to just let the process breathe a little more. I want to see where do I want to live? Where do I want to play? Who do I want to play with? Who do I want to be coached by? And maybe just let the process breathe. In the end, maybe he does go to Cleveland because they offer more money. But maybe he's just saying it today, just going, yeah, I just want to let this process kind of grow out a little bit. Kind of like we see in the NBA where, you know, a free, like Carmelo Anthony was always looking like he was going to stay with the Knicks. But he did enjoy traveling around and getting wined and dined when he was heading into free agency. Dwight Howard did the same exact thing. He ended up going to the Rockets, but he did the same exact thing. Just enjoy the process. Maybe that's what he's doing. In a quarantined, shutdown type of, the best way he can enjoy free agency is his agent fielding some calls. Maybe that's it. But I think Cleveland is, you get money and I wouldn't shy away from a feudal organization if you feel like you're talented enough to change it. Right? I mean, what would that say about your feeling of confidence that you can't add to something?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? You're going to go there and start stinking up the joint? Like, you can't play?
Does he have to be on a proven winner? Is he holding out for the Patriots, or maybe he's trying to hold out for the Buccaneers?
Yeah, exactly. Do you just want to fit into an organization that's already built to win
yeah.
and just hang on there? Or, You got Odell Beckham Jr. You got Baker Mayfield, who does have potential, and we'll see. I mean, I'm not going to promise anything on Baker's part.
No, but you know what?
He's had good and bad.
You and I will both agree that last year they underachieved drastically.
Yeah, sure they did.
I mean, it was terrible.
6-10.
I mean, what they're most known for is that game against the Steelers where Myles Garrett lost his mind.
Right, exactly. But they were still in a playoff hunt at that point. That's why Baker was so disappointed.
Don't you remember? Remember, like with 3 weeks to the left in the season, yeah. It was like that strange scenario.
And oh God! So, but nevertheless, I think you got to have the mindset of I can go and I can win. I can help them win. I can add a lot here. If you're just going to be just another player on a roster of just another mediocre team, then A, you don't think very highly of yourself, and two, then where do you want to go? What's your answer? Because I've seen stars go to well-built teams that don't make the playoffs, and I've seen stars go to teams and turn the culture around. Right? I mean, it's one half dozen or the other. I mean, it's all, look, in the end, Cleveland's going to win or lose with Baker Mayfield. I mean, that's basically it. I mean, the quarterback is going to win you games. I mean, you can play great defense, but if your QB can't score, he can't play well, he turns the ball over a million times, you're not winning. That's it.
Maybe he just doesn't like the color orange. So
maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Pete Jensen's going to join us. We will talk some NHL and their plan to come back and some of the matchups that you will see immediately when they do finally get back on the ice. That's coming up this hour. We don't do a lot with the NHL, but it is kind of fascinating, especially last season with the Blues. That's all coming up on Wake Up Call.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery to fit your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, who's this from 2006? I forgot this song. Kelly Clarkson! Kelly Clarkson? It is Kelly Clarkson, yeah. Kelly Clarkson. She won the first one of American Idol?
Okay. Over Little Pepper.
You know what I don't understand about American Idol? You don't have to win it to be a star.
No.
You could win it and be a star like Carrie Underwood, but you could also
Kelly
not
Clarkson
win it.
Won it.
Yeah, but you can also not win it and people like what you did and become a...
Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson, that's right.
She finished like 7th or something.
There was another guy, Chris Daughtry. Did he win?
No.
I don't think he won.
No, he was the one that everyone thought he should win.
Right.
But that was the controversy that everyone voted that gray-haired individual.
Taylor Hicks.
There you go.
He didn't turn out to be anything.
Nope.
So... You know what? Here's the deal with American Idol. There's just too many of them. You know what happens? When we're all American Idols, no one is.
That's right.
There you go. So let's calm down a little bit, Seacrest. Just stop forcing young singers on us every single year. I can only keep up with a couple. So it's not the be all end all it turns out to be, like back in the day.
God, I watched the first episode of America's Got Talent this past week.
Was that good?
It was, well, there was one act that I was really watching for because I had heard about it. And I was like, I really want to see what this guy can do. And it was, he had to be like in his 50s, right? And, you know, when they step on stage, you know, Simon or Howie always asks, you know, so tell us who you are, blah, blah, blah. And he says, yeah, I was wrongfully imprisoned. I just got out of incarceration. I was wrongfully imprisoned for 37 years.
What?
37 years. And then he went on to sing a song. And he was fantastic. He was brilliant. But 37 years in prison for a crime you didn't commit.
I'd lose my mind if that was the case. How do people do this?
Was
I just not born with that kind of fortitude?
I don't know. I mean, he gave up. He was convicted of rape, even though he had three witnesses who could say he was at this place. The fingerprints didn't match up.
Oh, Jesus.
But he said, it's like I was a young black kid from a bad neighborhood and they needed someone to pin this on. They needed a scapegoat. And it turned out years later, I mean, now that there's modern technology, DNA evidence, they was able to rescue him. And the court finally, you know, but he was booked away. It was like 80 years to life without the possibility of parole.
I don't know much about this, that system, but I read a book. John Grisham wrote a book called An Innocent Man, which was like a true story. Normally writes fiction, but he wrote a true story about a guy who was on death row in Oklahoma for a crime he didn't commit. And reading the book, I came away, and again, I know it's one book and I'm not experienced in the rule of law, but I came away with the understanding that sometimes when you go through a, you know, the police make an arrest and then they get a confession that even if it's unethical, and then a prosecuting attorney prosecutes the case, nobody ever wants to admit that they did anything wrong.
Yeah.
So they will just let that person go right to the hell of prison for however long it takes, rather than go, we could correct this, but we're not going to correct this.
Yeah, right.
Like the judge all the way down. Everybody that's in the process, even when somebody goes, hey, what about? They go, shut up. Just let it go.
That's good. We're okay.
We're not. We're just going to let this go.
I mean, 37 years, my son was watching and he asked me, he goes, hey, does he get money for this? Like, I'm pretty certain he made out okay.
I think so, right? So he did really well.
He did really well.
Okay, good.
He said, you know, I mean, for him, like, he sang in prison, like, you know, like, did church sermons in prison or put on concerts in prison or whatever. I mean, you know, that was how he survived and how he got by. And he would watch America's Got Talent on TV in prison. I don't know if that part is true, but it sounds great.
Maybe the producers told him to say that.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you said in prison, you watched our show.
There you are locked up. And one day I'm going to be on that stage, even though you're doing an almost life with no parole possibility.
Like, well, the only television we got was PBS. It doesn't matter. Just say you watch this thing. Yeah. It's okay.
Somebody smuggled it in with a carton of cigarettes.
That's right. Now, quick question, because I don't watch America's Got Talent very often.
Yeah.
Do singers win this?
They more often than not, but lately there's been kind of a move. Like, singers usually get to the finals.
Right, okay.
Right? But it's those other acts that have kind of been pushing through. You know, magicians, usually, if you're a good magician.
Well, like the little girl that was the puppeteer.
Yeah.
Like ventriloquist. Like ventriloquist. That's a puppeteer. Yeah. Look at me. Ventriloquist.
She's not Jim Henson.
Right. Like her, like juggling acts or dancing acts. The whole thing is wide open.
Kind of fun. So, like the first act that was on America's Got Talent, I don't even know how you do this. It was a husband and wife, and they've trained pigs.
And now,
these pigs were actually doing tricks that you normally see like dogs or cats do. You know, I can kind of understand how you train a dog, you know, because I have been able to get my dogs to sit. I had our dog before when we first got married. I had her trained completely. She was brilliant. She was just a smart, smart girl. I don't know. How do you train a pig?
How do you train a pig is right.
I mean, they had a pig, like, you know, she would walk and the pig was walking through her legs, or, you know, the pig got the pig to jump over a bar, and you're sitting there like, there's no way that pig can even get off the ground. What are you talking about?
I just think from a producing standpoint, and again, I'm not in that business, but this is just me on the outside looking in. I would say, look, there's American Idol and then there's The Voice. What we could sell America is something completely different than just another singing competition. Yep. So what we offer is all sorts of crazy acts. So if we could just go a little light on the singing, because that's kind of done over on those other two shows, and really more on the stuff that the other shows don't have, that's our hook.
And it's funny that you said it, because it's kind of moved away. You still always have singers coming through, and the singers who come through are the ones who had no chance, hard luck stories, or what have you.
Right, right.
You know, but it's usually, if it's a singer that's going through, I mean, sure, you have your pop singers or rock singers, but it's an opera singer.
Got it. Okay.
That you don't normally have. You're like, oh, this is, I'm getting culture.
That's true. All right, Pete Jensen's going to join us, NHL.com, on the plan to come back for hockey and the matchups that you could possibly see when they do get back on the ice. It's next. Wake Up Call.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've been talking about teams that have been, you know, organizations that are coming back to sports, NBA, NHL, you know, Major League Baseball, NFL, just kind of waiting around for the fall because they haven't really changed anything. The NHL is planning to come back, and they plan to come back in a plan that it would include two hub cities with 24 teams making the playoffs, four teams in each conference getting a bye. They are done with their regular season. They are moving into, whenever they do finally come back, there is this plan to just go right to the postseason. Look. It's different than the NBA in that the NBA still had some meat on the bone, if you will, when they were shut down in terms of their regular season. But the NHL was pretty close to wrapping it up and heading into the early part of April before they were shut down with a couple of weeks to go in March. But again, they're not interested in coming back for a couple of quick games and then, you know, wrapping up a regular season and going to a playoff format. They're going to have 24 teams, that is eight more than the 16 that they had. And again, with bye weeks and in two hub cities where they're going to be located, it seems like a very, very decent plan. Well, the NBA is still talking about how they're going to put together their postseason. The NHL is doing their, you know, trying to implement their plan whenever that plan takes place. Pete Jensen joins us from NHL.com, also the host of NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast that you can check out. Pete, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, we're moving closer to a return to play for the NHL. And I couldn't be happier about that.
And Pete is on our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right. So this plan is the plan. What is it? Two hub cities to be determined where the East and the West will play, and then they'll play the Stanley Cup Finals?
Yes. Don't believe the final venue, that type of thing, and the conference final have been determined. I know it's unlikely that there will be fans and home arenas for that, but they're playing a lot of things by ear. I mean, based on how things are going around the country and the world, obviously, there are still, you know, a lot of hurdles to jump for many different aspects of this thing, but you know, yeah, the framework is in place. It's a 24-team tournament. There's a qualifying round, which is going to be like, to be real, it's going to be like the first round of the normal NHL playoffs, which is crazy unpredictable. And then you're going to get back to that 16-team, you know, bread-and-butter tournament that is the actual playoffs with the first round coming after the qualifying round. So there's going to be a ton of upsets. If anybody remembers from last year, the four number one seeds in the NHL playoffs went down in the first round. So
yeah.
Now throw a couple of upsets before that, and this could be total mayhem from a gambling standpoint, fantasy, predictive analysis. I mean, we're going to be on our toes here. This is going to be crazy.
Was there a team that was heading I still am amazed, and I'll be honest with you, I am still blown away what the St. Louis Blues did last year. I think it was one of the best stories of 2019, how in January they were ready for the lottery or the number one pick. I shouldn't use lottery, they don't have that. But then they win the Stanley Cup. Was there a team heading in that direction before the shutdown? Meaning, hey, they had some struggles, but boy, they really are picking it up. And if they can just squeak into this thing, they would be really dangerous.
Well, I know the New York Rangers were playing really, really well from January 1st on. They called up a new goalie, a Russian prospect. He's like 10-2 on the season. They're a top five road team in the league in terms of points percentage on the season. And I think they were like even higher from January 1st on. They have two of the top 15 overall players in the game right now, and Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad. And this is like turned into an accelerated rebuild for this team. Like last year, they were in rebuilding mode, really. And even the beginning of this season, there's like no pressure on this team. So that's a team that I think, especially now, if some elements of the playoff series change, like a five game first round series against Carolina is what the Rangers are going to get. That's a toss-up. And then if they win that series, they're going to you know, even if they face like the best team in the East, like Boston, I mean, I give them a much better chance of pulling the upset now with all these changes and maybe catching the next team they play by surprise. So, like, I'm definitely dialed into the Rangers as a potential team that could win multiple rounds here and just kind of be playing with house money. And, you know, they have the talent to play with anybody, the offense and the power play to play with anybody. So that's kind of one of my dark horse teams right now. But, of course, there are also some teams that were led into the playoffs here that, you know, some may say don't have much business being there, but they were within striking distance, and that was kind of what the league did to allow these teams into the qualifying round. But, yeah, like the Chicago Blackhawks, I mean, they have Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, Corey Crawford, all guys that have won multiple Stanley Cup titles, and they're going to be going up against Edmonton, who has Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, the two best scorers in the league. But look at all that star power in a first-round series between pretty much the last team into the playoffs for Chicago. So that's going to be a crazy, exciting series as well, and also five games.
Pete, and we're talking to Pete Jensen, again, NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, NHL.com. Where are they right now? Like, what phase are they in? What is the plan? Is there any dates either tentatively on or are locked in terms of how they're going to come back?
Yeah, so they're looking at phase two in early June. So we're coming up on June, which starts next week. So phase two is like the voluntary small group training at the, you know, the practice facilities. It's like maximum six skaters. There'll be a lot of testing, very comprehensive testing. And then, you know, they're looking at no earlier than July 1st for the opening of the formal training camps. And, you know, with all the players traveling back and then joining the teams, they're going to probably be a couple of quarantines and, you know, thrown in there just for safety. You know, the league, introduced like a pretty comprehensive document, you know, that said that the protocol cannot mitigate all risk, which is obvious, but needs to be said here. And then, you know, you're looking at phase four eventually is when the teams report to the hub cities and resume play. So we're approaching phase two, but there are still two more phases to go after that before the puck drops on the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And you mentioned something about quarantine. So, I mean, given the international aspect of the NHL, players are all around the world. Is the league in connection with how they could get here and what the process is to get to this country and then be acclimated into the, basically society once you come from overseas or from another country?
Yeah, definitely. Commissioner Bettman was saying a couple of times during his big announcement the other day, they're seeking guidance from medical and civil authorities throughout the whole process. And they're just, you know, that's why they haven't picked the hub cities yet. They have a lot of cities in the running, you know, about 10, and maybe even some beyond that just in case. But there are 10 cities that they announced. I think they're going to wait and see how, you know, how everything's moving, hopefully in the right direction across the board around the country. But obviously, no guarantees on that front. So they're being careful. I mean, they know that so many things have been changing on a daily basis. So it's they're definitely connected with you know, the leaders in the industry to make sure they're doing the right thing with each twist and turn.
You know, one of the things we were kind of discussing about these sports coming back is what playoff format that they would use. And the NBA is, for example, is toying with a bunch of different ideas. But the Stanley Cup is one of those, you know, one of the things that the Stanley Cup tournament has always been is it's really hard to win the Stanley Cup. It's a very laborious process to win the Stanley Cup. So how important was it to sort of stay with the traditional format and not get gimmicky in a time where we're open to gimmicky, but to stay true to the process of winning the championship?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You see the word integrity discussed so often with this year's format. And I think when you look at this tournament, I mean, if you're in that qualifying round and you're a team like, you know, like the Edmonton Oilers, who have the ability to go all the way with their star power, like, you're going to have to earn it. It might even be more difficult than normal circumstances when you look at, you know, the way that everything's going to be going from a logistical standpoint, and then you look at the road to the Stanley Cup is going to be, even if it's a little condensed, like with those five-game first-round series, this is going to be a difficult road. So I think they, you know, they did a nice job with making a format that, you know, even if it lets a couple of extra teams in there, it's going to make it's going to make for some really exciting first-round series. And then, of course, their seeding round-robin stage is, you know, teams will have a chance to improve their standing. But I think one key thing is that as long as this is going to be a tournament without fans and without home arenas, it's not like you're going to give away, say, the top seed in the East to the Philadelphia Flyers, and then they're going to benefit from that with playing at home ice, you know, throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs. It's not really going to work like that, according to the plan here, with no fans. So I think it's a way for teams to get, you know, to get back into game shape. Hopefully, you know, they're going to be that one key thing is they're going to be a lot of teams getting key significant players back from injury. The biggest beneficiary of that is the Colorado Avalanche, but other teams like the Lightning are going to get Steven Stamkos back. The Pittsburgh Penguins are going to get Jake Gensel back. The Carolina Hurricanes are going to get Dougie Hamilton back. We're talking a bunch of elite players coming back. So one of the challenges is going to be how can these teams adjust to having their full strength in most cases. And then also guys are going to be coming back from a long layoff. So how can they avoid injury and stuff like that? So.
Right.
I think injuries are going to be a huge component, whether it's, you know, guys getting back into game shape without getting hurt, and then also teams getting some of their best players back, whereas in the normal playoffs, they wouldn't have those guys. So, like, you look at Colorado as a real cup contender now, getting all their top guys back.
Outstanding. Pete, really good stuff. Really, really good informative stuff. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on, and yeah, hope everybody's doing well, and we can get back to sports very soon.
Absolutely. Pete Jensen, again, NHL.com, NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. Really good stuff. Really appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you. And Pete Jensen was on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right, I'll touch on a couple of things that we learned there. That's coming up on Wake Up Call.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 2006 on a Throwback Thursday. Barry Bonds, 7:15. I know this song, but I don't know who sings this song.
Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson, okay. Thanks. 2006 was a weird year for me. I don't remember hits from that year. But when you're playing them, I'm like, I remember that song.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I do remember that. Barry Bonds, 7:15, as we mentioned on Throwback Thursday. So thanks to Pete Jensen, NHL. We don't do a lot of hockey, but I thought I'd touch on it because it's trying to come back like anything else.
They're the only ones who have their act together right now.
They seem to know what they're doing, right? They're not having arguments of what their format will look like. They're like, yeah, this is what it's going to be. 24 teams, we're banging out this way.
They're at the stage now. It's like, what city loves us the most?
That's right. Yeah.
Who wants us?
God, I know the NBA is also international, but it's got to be awful in the NHL to be like, all these players coming back. They're going to sit in quarantine for 10 days,
I wonder
14
how many,
days, whatever it is.
You know, how many of them did go back, though?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. That's a good point.
Some of them were like,
could some of them get smuggle out of here? Like, as soon as it was breaking down, like, I got to get back to Russia and my family or wherever, Finland or Sweden or wherever.
Or do they just stay here?
Canada?
I would think they probably stayed here thinking, oh, this probably won't last that long.
Right, sure.
And then, you know, like a week turned into 2 weeks. Because at the time, you and I, we sat here, we didn't think it was going to be forever.
No, not at all.
Or this long.
I honestly didn't think we would hit Memorial Day without something back in some capacity.
That our biggest sporting event would have been The Last Dance or The Match 2.
Right. Obviously, I didn't think we were going to be back to full arenas playing out. But, I mean, the idea that we hit Memorial Day and we didn't have anything sort of put together. Like, yeah, we figured it out, and let's get back. Let's
by
go back
Memorial
to play.
Day, I thought we would be, you know, we'd have baseball already. I thought this was going to last a month.
I was too. I kind of thought we'd have baseball back in a weird format, but we'd have baseball back.
Yeah, I
didn't know we'd still be shut down.
To be honest, I think I might have been naive when everything was getting shut down. It was you know, it's just cautious.
Me too.
But, you know, I didn't think we'd be approaching March or approaching the summer or leading into fall football going, maybe there's fans in the stands.
Yeah,
I think that was even a possibility.
I think you're right. I thought so too. I thought, look, okay, you know, the NCAA tournament done, obviously, because we're not going to move that. But, you know, so it didn't make it. But I thought, like, I thought the NBA people would be like, all right, look, we're pausing this thing, but, you know, May 1st, we'll get back to something. Like, but no, here we are. Then here's the other thing. He said the same thing that Lee Ellis said yesterday. All right, once we're back, then it's going to take a few weeks, and then we're going to get, you know, we're looking at July for some of these things to pop back into our existence. So that means we got another month of.
At least.
Now, I think the month is going to be better knowing that players are practicing and they're getting in shape and we've got something on the horizon rather than the uncertainty that we have now. But we're still weeks and weeks away from something. Now, if baseball can come through with something in June, so much better.